Let's once again take those courageous meditation postures we had earlier. So really taking full support from the earth. So if you're in the chair, let your feet be flat on the floor, fully supported by the earth, bottom evenly balanced on the chair. And again, rolling the shoulders up, back and down to open the chest and heart area. Kind of a sitting warrior's pose. I don't know if there is such a thing, but I just created it. Sitting warrior's pose. So the chest area is open. And just feel the body sitting and the body breathing. Intentions for this exercise, as always, curiosity and kindness. And I will also add in here a spirit of play. A spirit of play. Allow yourself now to contemplate the dream path that you've been musing about these past few weeks. Perhaps you understand your path through a few choice words or a few brilliant images that work for you. Perhaps the window exercise or the 100 things exercise really plays into your sense of creating path, a life of intention. And let yourself just daydream a little about what your path might look like if it was realized over the next period of time. Now, the period of time will be different for different people. For some of you, you might be wanting to think about realizing your path over the next year. For others, you may be needing a longer view, like 3 years. It just depends on where you're at in your life. Your age, your circumstances. Typically, when we're younger, we need a longer view, like a 3-year kind of visioning. When we're a little older, it might be 2 years or even 1 year, or maybe even 6 months. Noticing all different aspects of your path being realized in a very practical way. Doing certain activities, not doing others, letting go of certain things, taking on new ones. And as you imagine various realizations of living the life of your dreams, notice what hopes you are having. What are you hoping for? Include very tiny hopes. Might seem insignificant to others, but important to you. Include also the larger, the grander hopes. include the hopes that you're daring to have. And in a moment, I'll ask you to open your eyes and to record on the left-hand side of your piece of paper a list of all your hopes for your dream path. A list of all your hopes for your dream path, all on the left-hand side of your page or the left-hand side of your journal. So taking a few minutes to make that list now. And finishing up what you're writing and coming back again into a meditative posture. Again, one that really embodies courage. Along with the spirit of play. And always intentions around curiosity and kindness. So really feeling the support of the earth with the feet completely planted, totally on the earth, the bottom nicely even in the chair, the shoulders rolled back with the heart area open, courageous. Feeling body sitting and breathing. And once again, reflect on your dream path from your words, your windows, your images, your 100 things. Just generate in your mind's eye, what it would be like to be engaging in various activities that really are the realization of the life of your dreams, of your path. So again, take a minute or so for that. And as you do this, let yourself in on any fears that you have. How might doing some of these things be a little scary, a little anxiety-provoking, a little disruptive, disturbing? Whether to you or to others. If it's to others, then it'll be challenging for you too. If you're having trouble keeping focus on fears, bring attention to that. Maybe so fearful that I'm falling asleep with this. Avoiding. Even now. And in a moment, I'll ask you to open your eyes and record along the right-hand side of your page all of your fears that have emerged and any others that show up as you write, all of the fears you have about living the life of your dreams, being on your path. And so, taking a few minutes for this. You want your fears to be on the right-hand side of the page so that you can see them in opposition to your hopes. Listing our fears can be quite challenging, maybe triggering. So you want to give yourself as much support as you can. So again, returning to that upright and dignified posture, and really feeling the support of the earth as you do your writing, or taking little pauses in your writing, connecting with that courage that is already here. Now what we're going to do is, with a partner, each person's going to take a turn, remembering that we don't have one experience without another. So we don't have hopes without fears. We don't have fears without hopes. It's one of those yin-yangs of this life that we live as humans. And so a way to connect with the fears that are embedded in the hopes and the hopes that are embedded in the fears is to reverse it. So the first person who will speak will read out each of their hopes one by one as a fear. So for example, say you hoped for the coming year to make more money or buy a house or have another child. So you would say, I'm afraid to make more money. I'm afraid to buy a new house. Or I fear having another child. That would be reading out the hopes as fears. It's a brain teaser. Once you've done that, then the first person can then go to the fears, reading out the fears as hopes. So imagining if the person had a list of fear of losing a job, fear of conflict in marriage, fear of illness. And the person would say, I hope to lose my job. I hope for conflict in my marriage. I hope to be ill. Once the first person has read through both lists in this extraordinary manner, then that person should take a few minutes, at least 2, maybe 3 minutes, to go into silence and make some notes. It'll probably take anywhere from 5 to 10 minutes to go through the first person, including that note-taking. But take your time reading out the hopes as fears and the fears as hopes. Go slowly, feel it in your body. Once you've done that, then it's time for the other person to do exactly the same thing. So here's a little reading from Pema Chodron that will hopefully shed some light on this madness that I'm asking you to engage in. So this is from Pema Chodron's famous book, When Things Fall Apart. And she writes here, when we feel suffering, it doesn't mean that something is wrong. What a relief. Suffering is part of life, and we don't have to feel it's happening because we personally made the wrong move. In reality, however, when we feel suffering, we think that something is wrong. We feel fear, we think something is wrong. That's my add-in. As long as we're addicted to hope, we feel that we can tone our experience down or liven it up or change it somehow, and we continue to suffer a lot. And she goes on to say, this is interesting, the word in Tibetan for hope is riwa. The word for fear is dokpa. More commonly, the word ridok is used, which combines the two. Hope and fear is a feeling with two sides. As long as there's one, there's always the other. This redoke is at the root of our pain. In the world of hope and fear, we always have to change the channel, change the temperature, change the music, because something is getting uneasy, something is getting restless, something is beginning to hurt, and we keep looking for alternatives. And then I'll skip down. Hope and fear come from feeling that we lack something. They come from a sense of poverty. We can't simply relax with ourselves. We hold on to hope, and hope robs us of the present moment. We feel that someone else knows what's going on, but that there's something missing in us, and therefore something is lacking in our world. Rather than letting our negativity get the better of us, we could acknowledge that right now, I love this part, we feel like a piece of shit and not be squeamish about taking a good look. That's the compassionate thing to do. That's the brave thing to do. We could smell that piece of shit. We could feel it. What is its texture, color, and shape? We can drop the fundamental hope that there is a better me who will one day emerge. It's better to take a straight look at all our hopes and fears. And so, let's engage in the exercise.